This is PFW in Progress.
Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
PFW in Progress.
All right. Quiet, everybody.
Our director will be here any minute and we'll start rehearsal.
Here he comes. Attention, everyone. Here's our director.
With Fred Kirsch.
Oh, no, we're doomed.
Paul Perillo.
Rats. Nobody sent me a Christmas card today. I almost wish there weren't a holiday season. I know nobody likes me. Why do we have to have a holiday season to emphasize it?
And Andy. And Andy?
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel.
Andy Hart.
I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy.
I'm never happy.
Some guy named Tom.
Rats.
You've been dumb before, but this time you really did it.
Oh, everything I touch gets ruined.
And you never know.
Lori might stop by.
That's right. What about my part? What about the Christmas Queen, Are you going to let all this beauty go to waste?
PFW in Progress.
Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown! Hark the herald angels sing, glory
to you. Gonna turn that down, or am I supposed to talk over it? Very loud. Bring those levels down a bit.
I didn't want to hear the bag of chips opening on the air while you were trying to fix your microphone.
PFW in Progress, Thursday afternoon, Gillette Stadium. Two-thirds of the A-team, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart here, Tom Casale up diligently working away at the Danny Bogger Pulse story that I'm sure you are all eagerly anticipating in the upcoming issue of Patriots Football Weekly.
Boring!
That's true. But it is another game week here as the Patriots try to right the ship. Lots of topics up in the air this week. Tom Brady's somewhat interesting comments yesterday, sort of chastising he and his teammates for the way they've played of late and maybe not listening to coaching as they should. And some, obviously, reporters asking players about those comments. And Paul Perillo was one of those reporters. And he asked the wrong player. And by the wrong player, I mean Teddy Bruschi, who at any point can just pop off at any reporter, as he's done it numerous times in the past, including to a poor PFW intern at one point. So he has that reputation, and he showed that reputation is well-deserved today by getting into a little pissing contest with Patriot Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly. Paul, would you like to update us on the situation? I saw you guys sort of kissed and made up at the end. That was the disappointing part in my eyes. I wanted to let it blow up.
I asked them a follow-up question. He was asked about Brady's comments and whether or not he felt, if that was a problem on defense, and I thought that he answered about what they try to do defensively. They try to be technicians on defense. They try to take the coaching. They try to, operate the game plans and whatnot. And I asked him a follow-up question if he thought it was a problem. And
that's when the problem started.
He said, what did I just say? What the answer I just gave is the answer I would give to that. What part of that didn't you understand? It would be one thing if he had just said, well, kind of what I just said, but he got very defensive and very argumentative and got,
right.
Most of the people at that point that were around him started moving away, and then
not Andy Hart from the other end of the locker room. He saw this starting to unfold, and he was moving towards it, baby.
A few people got involved, and Teddy and I had what I would say probably about a minute or 2 minute
right.
long argument that went back and forth. No screaming or anything.
No.
But
it wasn't quite at the Monty Bible.
He wasn't happy,
Curran
and
level.
To be honest with you, I wasn't real happy with the way he treated me. Not the way he answered the question as much as the way he treated me. And I told him that. I said, you don't have to get all defensive and up in my face.
Why are you all up in my face, Paul said. And he had his hands up in the air.
And we eventually agreed to just sort of let it go. I walked away. I said, it's not really that big a deal, and it's not really worth it to me. And I walked away. And about 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, before the end of the locker room period, he came up to me, as Andy said, grabbed me in a headlock and, started laughing.
Right there,
say,
I was ready. I was ready to throw down, Paul. I thought it was the legit, real
said,
deal.
I didn't know what, I don't know what happened there. And I said, I don't know either, to be honest with you. I told him I'd re-listen to the tape, and if I was, if I missed something, I said, I think I just missed something in your answer and didn't catch the whole thing or whatever, and we just agreed to move on. I don't think there's, you know, any hard feelings there.
No, it wasn't a
huge
deal.
Or anything
deal.
Like that. It's not a huge deal.
No.
Unfortunately, I think it might end up on
some
radio shows, but I hope it doesn't because it really wasn't worth it.
I don't think it will.
It wasn't news, let's put it that way.
No, it certainly wasn't news, and it wasn't a big deal. And, you know, Rosie Colvin seemed to enjoy it from his locker stall 10
Mike Vrabel
got
a big
away.
Kick out
Mike
of it,
Vrabel.
Too. And then they all got a kick out of the headlock that he put me in and to apologize. They were all giddy schoolgirls, Vrabel and Colvin, on the other end of the locker room. I think the one thing that
he
we can
catch
take
you,
out of
unlike a running back out of the backfield, he can catch you.
The one, well, if I was running, maybe it might have been a different story. But anyway,
I say he'd still catch you.
Well, I'd probably pull my hammy, but I might get the first down first, and I wouldn't fumble. Just so you know,
it's true.
Anyway, the one thing I do kind of take out of this, Andy, and I don't, you know, this may or may not be accurate, but I sense a little bit of tension.
It's weird because it's like there's tension from some guys and complete looseness from other guys. And it,
the offensive line, for example, is wound tighter than a drum.
Right, and cleanly shaven and coming off their worst performance and not talking to the media, really. And there's that issue. There's Brady coming out with some very interesting comments, and I'm sure you heard those yesterday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook. But I actually found the most interesting comment came, I thought, out of the answer regarding the stealing of the signals and the protection calls when he said, you know, they might think they have it all figured out, but they're 6-7 and we're 9-4, so you tell me who's most figured it out. And neither of you. You're both mediocre teams right now. I don't think there's a lot separating the Dolphins and the Patriots right now. Patriots played better maybe at the beginning of the year when the Dolphins stunk, and the Dolphins are playing better right now, and the Patriots have stunk over the last couple weeks.
And the
weeks.
Patriots are probably a little bit better, and that's why some of those games that they didn't play very well,
they were able
to win.
Right.
Whereas the Dolphins, when they had stink bombs in Houston and against Green Bay, they lost those games.
And
whereas the Patriots were able to win when
I think
they didn't
they
play that well
those,
against Detroit.
Just the way they are now with a little more settled, you know, with Culpepper was in there, different things at the start of the year, just the fact they're settled now, regardless of how well they're playing. But that's a side story. I just thought it was interesting that Brady sort of brought that up again, and that seems to be the rallying cry this week from players and coaches. We're a 9-4 football team. There's a lot of teams that would like to be in that position.
I mean, forgetting about all the other hardships that Miami suffered through at the beginning of the year, just take those two games, Houston, which they lost on a failed two-point conversion, could have gotten to overtime, and Green Bay, which was just a debacle at home where they turned the ball over for touchdowns at least twice.
Right.
You win those two games, you're 8-5.
Right.
And suddenly you're right there, you know, in the mix, one game behind.
Other different news on the table. Private Santiago was in. His locker was all set up in there. O.J. Santiago.
Oh, he wasn't in there, though.
No, I didn't see him.
No, because I wanted to talk to him. It would have been a shame if I was in a headlock. When
Filippini was in there. Is that it? Filippini? Filippini? Filippicini? Is there an S in there?
Finisi.
Finisi. That's it. Finisi. No, Ficini.
I thought it was Finisi.
Maybe it's that. Anyway, there, you know, some new faces roaming around the locker room.
He's talking like the guy in Fat Albert. Help Arbyeba.
That's true. Questions remain in terms of the injury report. You know, you got guys listed as questionable, as always. Rodney Harrison upgraded to doubtful, not as always. Did not see him in the locker room today, though, so I wouldn't necessarily jump to any conclusions for this week on that matter. But as Bill says, day-to-day getting better, and, you know, it shows that on the injury report.
What do you think on there was a question that Belichick was asked yesterday if he felt it was important that he gets Harrison back to play a game or two in the regular season before the playoffs. Do you think there's any importance to that for a guy of Harrison's
ilk? I do, but I think you take him either way. You know what I mean? If he can play in the regular season, I prefer he plays, but not at the risk of something happening and re-injuring it and he can't play. I don't think the best-case scenario is wild card weekend, throw Rodney Harrison out there and just see what he's got. Because, especially at that position, if he is a step behind or misses a tackle or anything because he hasn't played in 2 months, well, that could be a touchdown, and a touchdown in the playoffs is, I don't know, quite a big deal. You know, you could lose a game because of one play, theoretically. So, obviously, you prefer even just to get a half of reads, a half of, you know, going through his progressions, all of that, making the calls, just to sort of get a feel, oh, I'm back on the field, right. Okay, ready for next week. Yeah, I think that's the preference, but again, it's somewhat a medical decision,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, that's the best-case scenario is to get him to play a game or two.
But I don't not play back. Him in the playoffs because he couldn't get there for the season finale or anything.
No,
of
that would never happen. Obviously, if the guy was good enough to play and he made your team better, you'd take him under any circumstances. But my point was kind of, do you think it's really important? And I think it's of less importance for a guy that's of his stature. What's the matter?
Some would accuse PFW of taking cheap shots of late. NFL Network with a crosshead Alexander the Mediocre for
Sean
MVP
Alexander.
Sean Alexander. That's a little bit of a
guy
shot
did
there.
Miss half the season with a broken foot.
Right,
no?
Might give him a little time to get going again. But
came back and ran for 230.
He had 230 in the first game back.
That was like the second game, I think. Oh. Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a little bit of a cheap shot. But anyway, other storyline. The injuries. Vince Wilfork reporting the Boston Herald that they may hold him out this week. So then obviously the questions were, is it, 3-4, 4-3, Mike Wright at nose tackle, sort of that whole line of questioning what might be done. Be interested to see what fans would prefer on that. My opinion is they'll probably do a bunch of things. I doubt they'll come out and line up in any one. You're not going to go base 3-4, I don't think, all game with Mike Wright as your backup nose tackle and say, okay, we're going to shut down. I would guess we'll see some different things.
Yeah, they probably will be multiple in this situation. And I thought Belichick was interesting today talking about Wright and saying how there is a size difference between he and Wilfork, but it's not that much of a difference in terms of their playing style. He thought that Wright has
55 pounds doesn't really matter.
What are you talking about?
The size difference. The 55 pounds is irrelevant in what I'm talking about.
Are you being serious?
A little bit.
No, yes. Because I think
there's a huge difference in those two guys.
Well, first
I think
of all,
Mike Wright struggles to get above 300, and I think Vince Wilfork is in the mid-threes easily and sometimes has to work to get
down
to those.
Not the 325 is listed at?
No.
Okay.
So I think there's a significant girth difference in those two guys.
Well, I was talking more in terms of the playing style and the leverage and the technique that Belichick was talking about today. Now, obviously, Vince Wilfork is a better player. He has far more experience.
I'm not talking about skill or anything. I'm talking about the question that was posed to him was size.
Yeah, well, I guess we disagree then. We can move on.
You weigh yourself on his scale, too?
I don't want you yelling
all at me. All weighing in at 130 these days on Vince Wilfork's scale.
I've been beaten up enough today.
Want me to put you in a headlock and rub your head?
No.
Like Teddy?
No.
Is that what you crazy guys do after you fight?
Now, the one thing that I will add that I didn't tell you... that I thought was funny is when Vrabel called me over to talk to me about it, he asked me if I was looking to get on Felger's show.
Which one?
I thought that was funny.
Which one? That's what I would ask. Guys get more shows than a...
I just thought that he felt that Felger was a cheap shot artist, and maybe that's what
everybody
I was doing.
I think everybody thinks that. I think it's pretty accurate. Excuse me. I think that was accurate when he wrote the Doug Gabriel was gone story and when he wrote the Jonathan Sullivan's here story and calls guys... fat tubs of goo, and I think those to some degree are uncalled for. I think you can say a guy has an issue with conditioning and his weight. Why do you have to say fat tub of goo? I think that's a little bit unfair at times and uncalled for, especially in Gabriel's case when he's run out of town.
But not like when Kevin Manick said that Derek Fletcher would have to drop 40 pounds to qualify as a tub of goo.
Well, we know he was a bit of a cheap shot artist
Absolutely.
As well.
Or when Andy says it to you, Paul.
No, that's true.
That's different. I say it to his face. I don't wait till he's cut and out of town. Right? I didn't see Felger writing that Doug Gabriel was a... what was he? A
squirt gun?
Squirt gun.
He's a weapon?
Gun.
More like a squirt gun?
Right.
Like
I didn't see him write that when Doug Gabriel was still around. I think that's weak. Weak. Anyway.
I agree.
A lot of topics on the
cheap
table.
Cheap shots in general, I think, are... pretty weak.
A lot of topics on the table. Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. As always, programming note, if you're planning on calling, get them in the first hour, 12 to 1, taking your emails, talking about this game, general state of the Patriots. 1 o'clock, we will go to the Around the League segment, our picks, where we have quite a race this year. Maybe the greatest race in the history of this program here on Patriots.com, where only one game separates all of us. Three-way tie for second place, apparently, behind Tom Casale. So, coming right down the stretch, do we do postseason? Paul, nodding with chips in mouth, yes.
We did last year, but I don't know if it was if we added it on.
Because we might need it this year.
We might have just had a separate postseason.
We might need it.
We should do it in the paper, don't you think?
Postseason?
But might be difficult to do, though.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Never mind.
Anything that makes things more difficult on us, let's not do. I don't want to be worrying about anything. So if you're going to get your emails in, get your calls in. First hour, we'll talk about Patriots, talk about Texans. Andre Johnson, David Carr, tough guy to bring down.
Oh, you
rarely
up,
gets sacked.
You brought up an interesting point, I thought.
I did?
Out of that blog, an interesting item.
Oh, Jerome Solomon.
Jerome Solomon, who is here, former Boston Globe beat writer, now back in Houston where he originally came from a couple years ago. He had an item on his blog that said that he talked to a Patriots player who indicated...
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah, an unnamed Patriots player
who indicated that the Texans shouldn't even bother getting off the plane.
Right, because of the way the Patriots are approaching this game this week and the mentality and all that. And that may be true, but I kind of thought we were going to see one of those performances last week in Miami, despite all the Miami factors. I think you had a scare from the Lions. Last week you downright got blown out by the Dolphins. I guess maybe you right the ship against a questionable Texans team this week that not very highly ranked on offense, defense, or pretty much anything. I mean, there's some weapons there. Obviously, Andre Johnson, D'Amico Ryan, some guys making plays, but the Patriots are the better team. And if you look at this 3 months ago, or 2 months ago, or a month ago, you probably would have said, "No, they should win that game pretty easily." But at this point, I mean, you don't know what the Patriots are going to do. And if they don't show up, I think the Texans are good enough to take advantage of mistakes. And that's the way it is. You make mistakes in the NFL, you have a chance to lose against anybody, Packers included, any of those teams included. So we're interested in what you're thinking, what your thoughts are, who you think is going to win. Let me guess, Patriots. But we're going to get to the emails because, as I said, we only have less than an hour now.
What, Mr. Tough Guy, you think Houston's going to win this game?
No.
All right. So don't chastise the fans.
Little jabs at a... Oh, who are you, Teddy Bruschi?
Absolutely.
You tell other people what they're allowed to say and think?
Absolutely.
Funny. Bruschi. Interesting. Maybe he'll have to cover some running backs this week. Let's see how that works out for him.
Now, that would qualify as a cheap shot, I think.
Sort of. I think it's fact-based, though, because he is having trouble covering running backs out of the backfield, right? Now, if I called him Statue Bruschi, I think that's a little bit of a cheap shot. You take it to the next level and make it a big joke, a laughingstock thing. I think he's just having trouble covering running backs. Like, would it be a shot if I say Mike Vrabel has struggled in open field tackles, missed a lot of tackles this year? Now, if I say he tackles less than Monty Beisel, that's a cheap shot.
No, I don't think that
there's a level here.
Okay.
Right?
I don't think that saying someone has struggled tackling in the open field is a cheap shot, no.
Oh, okay, good. Anyway, Holly Wilhoit, inconsistency. There has got to be a good logical reason as to why the Patriots are so inconsistent this year. It cannot be just because of them taking certain teams lightly. Does anybody have some type of theory? There is no way they will make it to the Super Bowl playing like this.
Well, I don't think the taking things lightly thing, I don't think that's a factor at all.
That was sort of posed for the Lions game when all the players said, you could feel it, there was no energy when we got here, all that those comments.
That might be one game, but I mean, I think that you can't... I think it's hard to play 16 games at the same intensity level. I mean, I don't necessarily think that they took the Lions lightly. It was a natural letdown after a very emotional, physical game the week before.
And they're not good enough to have those letdowns. To me, that's the bottom line. You look, this team has holes. You can point to areas where they're maybe not good enough to be a top-level team. They're just below. They're well-coached. They have Brady. They have some players. But they're not good enough to be an elite team.
I'll give you an example. It's just like, I don't think that the Chicago Bears took the Patriots lightly. But I think that was a bad spot for them. Coming off of three straight road games, playing the third of three road games, all on the East Coast against the Giants, the Jets, and then the Patriots. I think it's hard if you're the Bears to come in with the same intensity that you had the previous 2 weeks in victory, and therefore the Patriots won the game. I think that was a factor. I don't think that's why they won. I think it was a factor in why they won. Same thing the next week. You can't expect the Patriots to have the same intensity level every single week. I know that they're remarkably consistent, but they're human, and it's hard to maintain that same intensity level.
Somebody chiming in who didn't sign it. It is what it is, ? Tom Brady, 6th-round draft pick. 3 out of 5 Super Bowls. The shiny armor is gone. Bill, : thinks the Patriots are equal to Bush's, quote, Iraq. The enemy is far from being defeated, end quote. My theory. Bill's ways have caught up to him, just like in Cleveland, but Patriots' inheritance of Parcells is over. Rebuilding, in bold, is here. The true Bill Arrow is upon us. Do you like it so far? I don't really know what it means.
I don't understand the Parcells angle.
He was living off Parcells players, I guess.
But that's not accurate. I mean, I'm as big a Parcells defender as there is, but I don't really think that. Do you feel like that?
What?
Not
living off him. I mean, there were certainly a lot of contributors, key players that were from the Parcells era, right? I mean, McGinnis, Law, Brown, Brewski, Vinatieri.
Maybe Ted Johnson.
I mean, those are significant contributors.
Yeah, but I don't think he necessarily lived off them.
Yeah,
I wouldn't necessarily call it a team that was built by Parcells.
Now, you take the significant contributors and mix in, as Dennis Green said, stumbling upon a quarterback in the sixth round of the draft who is one of the greatest of all time, and now maybe you got a little story there.
Don't forget about that 2001 free agent class. Tremendous. A lot of those guys that turned out to be
right.
The core.
The Theo Epstein free agent run where you signed 20 guys and one of them turns out to be David Ortiz. And we forget about the others. The same guy or woman chimes back in. Subject, in Bill, Boston still does trust. 3 out of 5. What are you complaining about? 3 out of 5 Super Bowls? Crazy chess. Players moves. Consistent winning seasons. This year, it's not over. I have no idea what these mean. I actually feel like I'm having a joke played on me when I'm reading them.
You know what? It's almost like one of those haikus.
Could be.
Where, you know, there's a certain amount of... It doesn't rhyme, doesn't seem to go with one another, but it has to add up to like 17 syllables or something like that.
Ty B. Subject, Doug Gabriel. Your guy's joke came true. The Raiders picked up Doug Gabriel. They must have just done it to make the Patriots look stupid. A quote from NFL.com. Doug is insurance for us right now, Coach Art Shell said. So that's where we are with that. I don't know if we'd have made that move if those guys all were healthy and ready to go. End quote. What is wrong with him? Is he not a team player? Is he a psychopath? Do you guys have an update on what happened? Great job on the show.
We don't really have an update as to exactly what happened, but I think all the stuff that we've been speculating is probably as good a reason as any. Just that it just wasn't really happening for him here. He wasn't fitting. I don't think that maybe he was, you know, I think we throw a lot of the terms around as cliches, but, you know, the whole football is important to him kind of thing. I'm just not sure that he fit into the Patriots style. And I guess it just didn't work here. And I don't think it was the fumble, just like everybody has been saying all along. It can't be that. It had to be more than that. I'm guessing that the reaction to that fumble, something had to happen in the aftermath of that where he said something to the coaches in front of enough people that heard that he had to be reprimanded for that game. But that's not, that and can't be the whole thing.
I would guess it wasn't any one whole thing either. It was a culmination of different events that led them to believe this just wasn't the fit. This just wasn't the right move for now, and we're better off without him than we are with him.
Right.
Especially when you say, well, we're not really playing him anyway. Why do we need him around?
Right. I agree.
James Knopf checking in.
That's
how you say that?
That's the iPod guy.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Hey, James. What do I care? He's never gotten me anything.
Never asked.
Hey, guys. Subject, draft. I have accepted the fact that we are done. I can't keep the same positive mental attitude that Fred and Andy have. When did I become Mr. Positive?
Oh, my God. Andy. Wow.
When did I become Mr. Positive? I'm like Fred now. I'm Homer Andy. So I have started to look ahead to the draft and next year. With 2 first-round picks and our biggest needs being linebacker, what players do you think we can get with the 2 picks in the 20s? Mel Kiper has compiled his top 5 list at each position. So inside linebacker, Patrick Willis, Mississippi. Buster Davis, Florida State. David Harris, Michigan. Zach Dials, Kansas State. Justin Warren, Texas A&M. You like them? Uh-oh, now I got to say this guy's name.
This is where we need Tom. This is why he's the third member of our A-team.
Outside linebacker, Paul Puzlun. How do you say the Penn State guy that I think
Puzlusny.
That I think is highly overrated and stinks despite back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year awards and all those other things that go on his resume. I'll be right with that one. You watch. You wait and see.
I'm not in love with him, to be honest.
Earl Everett, Florida. Michael
I do like him.
Okwo, Stanford.
I don't know him.
David Holloway, Maryland. Juwan Simpson, Alabama. Thanks, guys. Love the show, as always. James and Dyer.
I didn't hear a lot of Michigan names there. Was it just linebackers that he was doing, though?
Yeah, no, that was inside and outside linebacker. And the Michigan, David Harris, the inside guy.
Okay,
the other guy is, was it Woodley?
Yeah, Lamar Woodley.
Whew. He can play, huh?
Big fan.
But there's going to be a lot that goes on. I mean, obviously, every year. I mean, you start to see guys and how they fit in systems, and is he a tweener? Is he an end? Is he a linebacker? Is all that stuff that Bill touched on a little today.
Do you know the guy from Florida? Is it Jarvis Moss? Is he an underclassman, maybe?
Could be.
Because I also was very high on him. And he could be one of the... Well, he might be too big, though.
All right, Paul. The A-team from Patrick Williams. Paul, Tom, and Andy are the A-team. Wednesday's show was the best show I've ever heard. My only criticism is that Paul had to leave, blah, blah, blah. Couldn't stick around, blah, blah. Sorry, Fred, but as you spent the day shopping for your velvet-lined underpants or fed yourself chocolate bonbons in a climate-controlled underground lair or whatever the hell you did yesterday, the rest of them took care of business and gave us 2 hours of great football talk. Kudos to Andy Hart for asking Belichick an honest question on Wednesday's press conference. I regularly listen to Bill's press conferences, and Andy didn't bow down and make some obvious inquiry that answered his own question like most of the reporters do, Paul. Unfortunately, it sucked that Belichick had to wriggle out of it like a preacher who was caught in a strip club. It was a completely valid question, and he got caught in a politician without his speechwriter's footnotes. And he didn't give a respectful response that the question demanded.
I'm just happy to be here.
That, along with Brady's comments yesterday, leaves me with a sense of dread that this team has no idea who they are or where they are headed as they go into the playoffs. Throughout the season, I have not seen any semblance of anything that could be construed as consistency on offense. Cincinnati gave me some hope, but since then, nothing. Oh, by the way, Tom, where have all the emailers been praising Corey Dillon this week? After Maroney's absence in Miami, I was sure that you would have been flooded with people asking for your head on a platter, or at least an apology. Why haven't they written in yet? I just wanted to thank you guys for doing a great job and for keeping people like me informed and excited throughout the entire year. No matter how the Pats do, since I've started listening to the five of you, including Gary, I've been more prepared as a fan and knowledgeable about this team. If they lose or win, I will look forward to hearing you guys, what you guys have to say about it. Happy holidays to you all, and thank you. Yes, even Fred. That was a great email from Patrick.
By the way, Dan Heffron will have his poem next Thursday.
Nice.
Next Thursday. All here.
Perfect. But I think the accurate part, or the interesting part, was, what is going on with this team heading into the postseason and the inconsistency on offense? We talked, the offensive line has been a part of that, clearly.
You know, the best part, I thought, I shouldn't say the best part, but I thought the most interesting part of what Brady said yesterday, the things that got the most play were the following coach's orders and the Miami stuff that Andy talked about earlier about the 6-7 team beating a 9-4 team. I thought the most interesting response he gave was in regards to something along those lines. What is this team? Where is it going? And he said, I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no idea how this is going to play out. I'm just like all the rest of you guys. I really don't know. And I don't think that, you know, while they may not have known exactly what was going to happen in the past, I don't think they would have been as willing to say that
right,
as publicly in the past as they have been now. I think there is some soul searching going on right now within the Patriots locker room. Now, look, there's 3 games left, and we talked about this yesterday. They can right the ship. They can get consistent, and they can, you know, get on a run heading into the playoffs. But right now, there really isn't any evidence of that. They've played kind of sloppy for 13 weeks. Now, if they play to the, you know, they eliminate those turnovers and penalties in the last 3, maybe something else can happen here, and you can feel differently heading into the postseason. But I think Brady's right. I think you really have no way of knowing what's going to happen.
WebRadioPatriots.com, rolling through the last half hour of emails here. Shane in Miami. Hello, PFW. I know that there are still 3 games to go. I am still staying optimistic, like Fred and I, although one single fact remains. This is not a very good team. Way to be optimistic there. Yes, I said in the offseason, I said it in the preseason, and I said it all year. They don't have the talent anymore to win in the playoffs. Even Tom Brady needs a few players to help him out. Other than the 2 lines, this is an aging roster that lacks speed and is in big trouble without some major changes. I would lump in the offensive line as maybe part of your problem. I am not overreacting. The Pats need to overhaul several positions this offseason. Considering the likely losses of Samuel and Graham make this team even worse. They need some impact free agents and a great draft class, or they will not be going to the playoffs next year. You heard it here first. I love the Pats, but that's how I see it. The Jets were in the playoffs in 2004 and went into the crapper a year later. They got old. It can happen fast in the NFL, but Mangini had a good draft and some key moves got them back in it. Heck, I think the Patriots have done a great job with the little talent they have. Newsflash, they're on the decline. If they win the Super Bowl by some miracle this year, I still feel the same way. Scott, scoff at this if you want, but deep down inside, places you don't talk about at parties, you know I'm right. I added that.
I know what you did there.
I know you like those references to a few
good men.
Well,
I think A Few Good Men definitely lent itself to more lines in the course of regular,
like
everyday conversation.
Like a private Santiago.
Than maybe any movie ever.
So would you like to comment on the optimistic Shane?
The optimistic Shane.
He said he was staying optimistic.
Don't sound so optimistic.
Still the third line.
I have a hard time really disputing anything that he says, vehemently. Maybe I think that they have a little bit more talent than he does, and certainly if they were to get on a run here and put it all together and win the Super Bowl, maybe I would probably have to say I was a little bit wrong. You know, I mean,
come on, you're never wrong.
I don't right now. I don't think they have the talent to win the Super Bowl. Do you? Sorry, I caught you in a bad time there.
I think the Chargers have the most talent by far and are far and away better than the Patriots.
So, therefore, I would be surprised if the Patriots were able to overcome that, because I think it's hard to. I mean, the 2001 Patriots were not the most talented team in the league, and they did overcome it, but they were just playing so well heading into the playoffs.
By this time. Right. No, it wasn't after this time. And even the Steelers, everybody points to from last year, were playing better by this time. They had gotten out of the losing streak, had a win under their belt. You're kind of cutting that window down every week when we'll start playing well late December.
And you can also, you can be ready, because I actually think, like, whatever that Patriot veteran that was unnamed in that blog, I probably think along those terms. I have a feeling, and I said this yesterday, that I think that the Texans are going to get the beating that the Lions probably should have gotten. And I have a feeling this is going to be one of those games that, to be honest with you, there's no amount of points that the Patriots could win this game by to make me feel much better. Now, they could win it in a close game or lose it and make me feel even worse. But, you know, 35-0 Green Bay-style blanking isn't going to make me feel any better.
Just because we have short time today and I see my name in it, I'm going to skip up a couple, like Tom does, and just bounce around the emails.
Actually, I like the way Tom does that, because sometimes you get the emails that are pertinent
more
to what
timely.
We're talking about.
Right. This is from, let me scroll down real quick, because I'm in a view I don't really like. Frustrated fan in New Jersey. Subject, what the F, *!! Exclamation point.
Okay,
about eight
we
of
get
them.
It. We get it.
Well, that's what it says. I do my best to read the emails at these.
Well, you
emailers.
Don't read the periods and the commas.
Well, there's a lot of exclamation points there. Andy, you were right. Andy, are you still there? Hello?
No wonder.
Where did Andy go? I saw him at the press conference yesterday. Guys, what in the wild, wild world of sports is going on? The Dolphins stealing signals? Patriots stealing draft picks from the Raiders? Doug Gabriel? There's the Raiders stealing draft picks from the Patriots.
Actually, the Raiders got Doug Gabriel in a fifth-round pick for nothing.
Is it safe to say that the Patrick Pass experiment is over? Is this guy always injured or what? Perhaps we should release him so Chad Jackson can
I've
take his...
fallen, and I can't get up!
...can take his place as the always hurt but always on the roster position. What the bleep is Rashad Baker? Didn't take him too long to get hurt. Hey, NFL players, sign with the Patriots and get put on the injury report. Hell, we'll take you even if you're... You are or all have recently been hurt. Who the bleep is? A lot of bleeps in here. O.J. Santiago. And wouldn't you want to stop using just your initials and go by your full name? Why? Oh, O.J.
Duh.
Team is falling apart. Shut up. Apart in front of our eyes at the time of the season it's supposed to be coming together. Pathetic, said Eeyore. I don't really know how to do an Eeyore voice, so I didn't even try. Pathetic. That's another one of those where I didn't try, but I tried. Fred, please, please don't go ahead with your plan to talk about Xmas shopping on Friday. Unless, of course, it's vacuum cleaners. Thanks for letting me rant. Frustrated fan in New Jersey. We got an update?
That was a good rant.
We get an update? Did it arrive? Or?
The vacuum cleaner?
Well, I assumed you paid like $55,000 that you got next day delivery.
But here's the thing that makes it even worse. They called me yesterday to set up a delivery time. I mean, like, you know, when you shop online, you don't need to set up. You just deliver it.
Right. Like a package I got yesterday.
So then I called back today. It's like a main line that I called, the number that they gave me. So I had to go through like three different places, and then they transferred me to the right spot, and it rang about 25 times. No one answered.
Who's it? Lowe's?
Yeah.
This is they? Yeah. They stink. I like Lowe's in person, though. PJ Naccarelli checking in.
I like Lowe's personally.
What's up? Hey, guys. I have a question. I don't know if you touched on it, but what did Doug Gabriel do to get himself released? I know that a fumble against the Jets, blah, blah. Also, I am with Tom on the fact that I don't like the idea of the Christmas gift show on Friday. Can't we have a bowl preview show where you guys pick the bowl games, at least the major ones? Great show until Fred comes on at one, of course. Tough week
Good
for
stuff,
Freddy.
PJ.
Tough. Whoa.
Just so you know, we're not really going to have a Christmas show on Friday. I think that's kind of taking on a life of its own.
Yeah, I'd like to think that, but Fred hosts on Friday.
Well, I'm not saying that they're not going to talk about anything but football. I mean, of course they'll talk about all stuff, but I don't think you have to worry about there not being any Patriots talk because they're talking about Christmas shopping.
Thursday at 12:25. Josh in Arlington, Virginia checking in. Speaking of someone around the team being wound up, what's up with Andy today? He's talking a mile a minute and arguing with just about everything. Who slipped him the diet pills?
That's what he does.
Hey, I'm losing weight, but it's because I haven't been to the gym.
Andy's always argumentative, number one. And number two, he generally talks very quickly.
Uh-oh. This guy's probably going to be unhappy with me. Pat from Ireland, I read. And last time I remember getting an email from Ireland,
Yeah, you made fun of Irish people.
I'm Irish myself. It's okay.
You're a PR man yourself?
Yeah. Hey, guys, love the show. Last week I emailed in, and, of course, Andy took a few shots at me.
That's what he does, Pat.
Yesterday I was really hoping Belichick would have Andy fired, or worse, for asking stupid questions. But to my utter disappointment, Andy is still here talking crap and taking cheap shots at everybody. In
Absolutely.
My opinion, the A-team is Fred, Tom, Paul, and even Gary.
Gary.
Andy, you suck.
Pat, I couldn't agree more.
Pat from Ireland. And you know what, Pat?
Don't.
I kind of want a guy to play "You Suck" from Adam Sandler, but he's not playing along.
Yeah, well, sometimes.
You know something? You suck.
That's right.
Pat, keep him coming, Pat. Don't
keep
back
emailing.
Down from that little pencil neck geek.
And it wasn't a dumb coach question I asked the coach.
Oh, I agree with that. It wasn't a dumb question.
Gary, did you get this one about our volume dropping altogether at 12:20?
Yeah, he's the only one. It's fine.
Play with your knobs, damn it. I'd love to see Gary. Gary plays with his knobs all the time. He's the only one he can get to play with his knobs.
You know something? You suck.
Now, career high 15 picks this year for Chad Pennington, huh?
First ever in the red zone, wasn't it? Or was that? Yeah, that was him.
Earlier in the year, you mean?
Yeah. Hey, guys, thank God for your show.
You suck.
If you listen to the other show stations, you would think that it is baseball season. They just got done talking about what kind of underwear Daisuke Matsuzaka had on at the time of his signing. Pathetic. Is that true?
I don't know what they were talking
about.
Well,
I'm guessing the other station would be you on the big show.
But that was yesterday I was on the big show, not on today.
Forwarded.
I'm with you today, Andy.
Anyway, this is from Nordberg at KFFL. Am I supposed to read that? Quick question. How do I vote for John Rook's podcast download?
You just did.
I'm getting everyone over at KFFL to vote. I promote your show to those guys on a regular basis. Seems they're looking for more football talk during football season. Go figure. You promote our show? Because Tom Casale's had some run-ins with KFFL.
I was going to say, was that KFFL or Pat's Fans?
It might have been Pat's Fans. You know, it's one of those where he claims he never read it. Oh, he read it. I guarantee it.
Tom Casale is persona non grata on some of those message boards.
He should be. He takes cheap shots that are well beyond anything I've ever done to Pat in Ireland.
Look at that douchebag.
Right.
I think you guys both take cheap shots well beyond what I ever do.
Funny, you're the one picking fights with players by trying to get them to call out teammates.
Didn't take any cheap shots.
I've heard you guys say the last... this is from El Guidio Diaz. I've heard you guys say the last couple of days that the Patriots assumed the whole offseason that they would re-sign Deion Branch. That was probably the reason why they chose not to sign David Givens or another high-profile wideout other than Rishi Caldwell.
That's part of it, yes.
My question is
this.
How could they just assume a deal was going to get done all that time? What signs did Branch ever give that he was going to re-sign for an amount that the Patriots agreed with? You're not supposed to put all your eggs in one basket, but they did. Why not sign Givens and use that as leverage against Branch to get a deal done a little faster? That way, if Branch doesn't sign an extension, you at least have somebody who can get open. Isn't this front office 101? basic principles in running a team. If the Pats got caught with their pants down, it's their fault and a rookie mistake from two veteran-savvy guys like Pioli and Belichick. I can't believe how this all went down. It is truly a head-scratcher.
Well, I agree with that, but the only the defense I would have of the team in this regard would be that the player was under contract. And
right.
They, you know, I mean, they're figuring worst comes to worst. We don't get an extension done. He's still, you know, our property. He's still got to play for us. Now, he, you know, being Branch, held their, you know, their feet to the fire here and made sure, you know, he kind of shot his way out of town, for lack of a better term. And
I
put the Patriots in a bad spot. But I don't think the Patriots handled the whole situation great, okay? But at the same time, I don't think it was foolish, say, back in May or June, to have the mentality of, we drafted Chad Jackson, which they had already done, obviously. We signed Rishay Caldwell, and we'll have Deion Branch. That really ought to be enough. You know, that and Loudon and Downey's testimony really ought to be enough. See how you can always do it with a few good men? You can always get it in there. What's the matter?
I think they tried to take advantage of Deion's personality and his team-first approach. I think they thought that was going to play into their favor.
Well, that's why I said I don't think they handled it great.
He plays, and I think they thought they get at least a year, more time, everything. I don't think they thought there was any chance it would blow up the way it did and that he would dig his heels in the way he did.
I agree. I think they did. That's why I said I agree with the rest of the email there. That they kind of did get caught with their pants down and were put in a bad spot. And I suppose you have to hold them accountable because this is an organization that prides itself on having plan, you know, A, B, C, D, whatever, backup plans for their backup plans. And obviously someone had to have thought, we know that this guy's unhappy. We know he wants an extension. We need to take a contingency plan if the worst case scenario, and that being he decides to hold out and not play, if that happens, we need a plan, and they really didn't have one. So I'm not saying that they're blameless here.
Larry Hendrickson would like to chime in and back up a previous emailer. Can hardly hear Paul and Andy. I also lost it at 12:20. Gary, just an FYI, maybe some issues.
I've been fiddling around with this thing for a half an hour.
Might want to twist your knobs again, if you're ready. Hey, guys. Russell, what do you guys call him? Early Doucette?
Early Doucette.
Can I ask what that means?
He's a wide receiver for LSU, Early Doucette.
Oh, okay. Hey, guys.
Jeez, Tom, you think you'd throw on a college football game once in a while.
Subjects, the joke's on them. Get out the butter because the toast is done. After reading Brady's comments in the Herald today, it seems even he realizes it will be one and done if they even make the playoffs this postseason. I know Gabriel didn't do too much, but when you're thinner than Nicole Richie at receiver, the logic is, why release one? Unless he smacked Belichick, Pioli, or one of the crafts, the logic escapes me. Maybe I might be missing the genius of signing tight ends who have been out of football for 3+ years. Did they at least see if Russ Francis and Ben Coates were available? Well, Ben Coates is coaching, so I don't think he'd be available. But Russ Francis does a local radio show, so I'm sure he'd be out there.
And yeah, let's face it, it's not really going well. Tom Casale is a frequent guest.
Right. I won't say it. They have to be as good as who they just signed. You guys also hit it yesterday saying the Raiders would re-sign Gabriel. What draft pick did they give up to rent him for 3 months? Fifth-round pick. I think we just got louder. Gary, you playing with stuff back there?
My knobs.
I think the big carryover from this circus will be in the free agent market. Maybe the lure of the chance to win isn't quite so shiny and appealing anymore. Maybe because they didn't win last year. Time will tell. Tom, you might not have to wait for the Jacksonville game to be done with this year's team with the way this week has gone. I so enjoy the eternal hope of next year, in quotes. Love the show, Russell. Yuletide greetings from the OC.
Good stuff, really. Now, I mean, I think that
that was a long one. I need a drink. Talk.
But the readers, the emailers, seem to be as pessimistic as I can remember them.
I have to say, if the readers were asking Bill Belichick questions or Teddy Bruschi questions, the explosions would be far bigger than they've been of late.
Well, I'm just saying, generally...
Sally coming out of the leather chair to chime in from the microphone.
I have a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
It seems to me that the team isn't having any fun. Now, maybe it's because they've made them all robots, but Like, when I was in the Cincinnati locker room after they lost, a lot of those guys were acting like idiots, but Rudy Johnson's reaction stuck with me because I said, you know what, this guy really, he's really mad.
Right.
You know, and you never see that from the, you never see someone just say, you know what, man, we're not as good as we think we are, and they don't look like they're having any fun, and I just, because I saw, I thought of this, because last night I saw something on the Chargers, and I mean, they were in that Broncos game, they were whooping them, but they were having fun doing it, and they seemed like a team, they seemed like they were united.
Right.
And I'm not getting that impression from this team. I mean, do you think that don't... Two questions. Do you think, one, that hurts them now, and two, do you think it hurts them bringing players in if money's equal, thinking, you know, I don't really want to go there and deal with all the Belichick and...
Maybe. It might. But in terms of right here, I think that's kind of what Brady was trying to do. Fire back and have a little, you know, with the whole, they're 6-7 and we're 9-4, so who has it more figured out? To some degree, in the restrained manner that they do here, you're not going to find somebody popping off like you might elsewhere. Maybe they do need that fire. Maybe that's something there. Maybe when you're a veteran team that's winning, that business first attitude is perfect. But when it's week to week mediocre, need a little extra boost here, maybe that doesn't play out quite as well.
Who's the leader on the team? Like with I know Harrison's one, but he's not there. Who's that guy there that on the team that, you know, when they're down, steps up and gets in their face and
says,
it's
a good question. It's one we've posed
in the past.
Seymour's
kind of quiet.
I think that they have a lot of good, strong leaders, but aren't necessarily really outspoken.
Not a punch you in the face, Rodney Harrison, Willie McGinnis, that you fear.
I think Rodney
We've
is.
Talked about this in the past.
But now Rodney's
Some
hurt.
Leaders, yeah. You have to fear them a little, because if you don't fear them, don't... You know, worry how they're going to react, aren't worried what they're going to say or think about you. I'm not sure. I think there's something. You can't always be the good politician, good guy leader. Because
yeah,
sometimes
I agree.
Somebody needs to come up and slap a guy in the face.
Right.
And maybe they are lacking that.
But I agree with Tom about the aspect of fun, too. And sometimes, you know, look, we've teased them as well at times when they're, you know, playing the baseball game in the locker room on a Friday and they're throwing the tape around and stuff like that. But I do think that, and I mentioned at the top of the show, Tom, before you, Fred's here too, I thought there was maybe a little tension kind of building down there. And it doesn't look like a lot of guys are really having a lot of fun. Now, you might say, well, they've played kind of sloppy 3 weeks in a row. They shouldn't be having fun, but...
We like to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, get pumped and jacked. I think that Tom makes a good point.
But I remember why wasn't I in the locker room on Friday? Oh, because I do the show. I wasn't in the locker room on Friday, but Andy, when Troy Brown was doing that thing with you, and it sounded
That's
like
fun.
They were, yeah, it sounded like they were loose, and you know, they were going to go out for we thought, well, maybe, boy, they're going
to. That's why I thought they were going to blow out the Dolphins. Funny thing happened on the way to that. It went the other way.
But I don't know. I just think that sometimes they seem too restrained and too afraid to do anything.
Joey Feep checking in. Audio
wow.
dropped at 12:20
Joey
for me,
Feep.
Too.
I thought he stopped listening to
Joey
the show.
Joey Feep! Hi, Gary. You do a bang-up job. I'm losing interest in the Patriots until they start showing that they are committed to playing real football. So I don't have any questions or comments. Just wanted to let us know that
Good
he's listening.
Good to have Joey Feep back.
Yeah, when the audio works that
listening.
Gary said was fine except for the one guy. Okay, Arthur Knowles checking in on the web radio site as of 12:48 It's not just one person. No one is able to hear what is being said.
Yeah, there are some computer malfunctions going on which have been rectified.
Well, I guess that's why Chris was swearing at Gary upstairs when he said,
"Oh,
it's working. It's not working."
Wow. Infighting. Is this the Patriots locker room or web radio?
Give me a phone call if one of his computer breaks.
Ding.
Very, very
ding.
Defensive.
Wow, things around here, touchy
very,
of late.
Very defensive.
We got Paul fighting with Teddy Bruschi.
Very,
we got
very defensive.
WBCN hating Fred Kirsch because he doesn't return their phone calls. We got Gary and Chris Ferreira going at
Mark
it.
Mark Capello was wondering why you haven't returned his phone call.
I just called him.
Okay.
Every time he calls, it's 103. I'm either in the radio, you know.
Literally 103 every day?
Every day. He must get off, you know, off doing something at 1 o'clock and then he calls me. And we're always on the radio.
So you took care
did
of that.
Did you talk to him or did you leave a message?
I just left him a message.
Or Christmas shopping.
Or eating bonbons in your climate control.
Yeah, who is that jerk? I read that. Who is that?
I've never seen him react to an email like that.
In my lair?
Yep, climate controlled lair.
The same. See, you know what's happening with Fred is that, you know, when they're winning, his little shtick is all fun and games. When they start losing, people are going to turn on Fred.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
It puts the lotion in the basket. No.
Wow.
Fred's all wound up today. Wow.
That's from Silence of the Lambs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Fred, I was lumped in with you today. I'm sorry, but I can't keep up the optimistic approach that Fred and Andy have.
Yeah, I read that
imagine,
too.
Can you
like,
imagine
what,
that?
What the hell's he doing down there?
I almost gagged on my potato chips.
Yeah, I think everyone's feeling a little bit of pressure.
Right, even
around the building.
The guy from Ireland's mad that I called him a drunk.
Well, he finally chimed back in.
Yeah.
Well, he probably was drunk. It took him a week to respond. He probably just came out of his coma.
Now it's two out of the four of us that he hates.
I think we're feeling the pressure a little bit around here. What do you guys think?
I
think Amy's checking in. Hey, guys, I listen all the time. Sound volume issues.
But not today, because I can't hear you.
It was around 12:30-ish. Actually, based on earlier reports, 12:20 is when it went down, when Gary said, it's just the guy.
And now it's too loud.
Oh, sorry. Maybe it's just because I'm yelling.
Yeah, probably.
I'll bring it down. Well, Fred was yelling, too.
No, I agree with you, Fred. It seems very tense around. I think they know that they have to play and play well this week.
Well, hell yeah.
They have two tough games coming up.
Now, you guys have already probably covered this. I know that there was a long line of questioning about Vince Wilfork today, but you think he'll be playing?
Well,
no.
Based on reports.
Based on a report in the Boston Herald, it said probably not. But I wouldn't write that in stone, number one. And number two, I think that had this been, like, say, the last game of the year they needed to get in or a playoff game, I think he probably would play.
Well, let me ask you this, too.
You don't think they need this game?
Well, it's supposed to be an ankle or a foot injury. That's our guess.
Sprained ankle. It's listed as.
Well,
we
know what kind of blocking the Texans do. They cut block. Do you think that play – like, if he's 50-50, do you take that into consideration that these guys go after your legs and
could go low? It might be.
More than a lot of teams?
What about Maroney?
He was in the locker room today, but I didn't talk to him. Did you guys talk to him?
No.
No, he told Pyers he was straight still.
He was straight last week, too.
He's straight? That means he's okay?
Yeah.
That means he's not gay?
I didn't know where.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm straight. I'm cool. I'm cool.
Oh, okay.
He said it last week, too. Same thing. I'm straight. So
I knew it wasn't, you know, talking about an alternative lifestyle.
No, I'm just telling you, straight. I'm straight. I'm good.
But
he was good last week and didn't play. So
I think it was a precaution last week.
Yeah.
I don't think Watson's going to play.
I think this is a huge circle the wagon week. I think the release of Doug Gabriel was obviously a message to everyone.
Really?
From what I understand, Gabriel, when he ran the wrong route in Miami on that play, and that was the last straw, that he just refused to get with the program. So that's why Doug Gabriel was
Which,
gone.
I got to be honest with you, that's what I was talking about yesterday. That's what it looked like to me, is that throw was back shoulder. That was what it was supposed to be. And he appeared, I think, Andy, you made the comment that he appeared to be surprised by the pass and reacted to it late. That's what it looked like to me, is that he didn't do what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, and you take that bit of information, combine it with what Brady had to say yesterday, and there's
don't discount that being about Gabriel, by the way, the end of that quote about
coaching and whatnot. I don't think it was just him, though. I think that it was him and maybe
everybody.
A few others.
I think it was everybody on the football team, including the man who was saying it at the press conference.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of, you know, there was a lot of discussion this week, and I think that this is a circle the wagon week, and we'll see what comes of it on Sunday.
And is that why players are telling Jerome Solomon that the Texans shouldn't even get off the plane?
Is that what they said to him?
The Texans shouldn't in his blog today, the Texans shouldn't bother getting off the plane, according to an unnamed Patriot veteran.
See, now, I highly doubt that a player said that.
You calling Jerome Solomon a liar?
Wow.
I'm saying that his interpretation of what was said to him is probably not accurate.
Well, it was in quotes, just so you know. It was said, quotation mark,
wow.
They shouldn't even get off the plane, ... and he said there were expletives and stuff after that.
Well, maybe, here's what I'll bet you.
I think he's close to a couple of players, and I'm not doubting it.
Well, I'll bet
second.
You a player said something like, man, we are going to come out fired up today, this week. And it really had less to do with
if he writes in quotes, they shouldn't even get off
then
the plane. He's,
he's
a bad reporter. Yeah. He's lying.
Well.
If you write it in quotes, it's supposed to be a quote.
Okay, well.
If he cut out an F-bomb or two, that's fine.
I'm not going to dismiss your notion, Fred, but that's a serious offense that you're talking
about
there.
Yeah, well, it's a serious offense on Jerome's part, but then again, if a player actually did say that, that's a serious offense on that player's part. That's stupid.
Nothing wrong with being a little confident.
Right.
I kind of have a feeling who the player was, too.
I kind of have a feeling that he's right, too. I have a feeling this is going to be ugly. I think, and I keep saying it, I think the Texans are going to get the beating. that the Lions should have gotten 2 weeks ago.
Well, what if, and if they don't, then we know everything we need to know about this team.
We keep saying that, but I think you're right.
Well, yeah. let me ask you.
In other words, it wouldn't fix all the ails if
no.
they win 35-0. But if they win 17-13 on a last-second touchdown...
It could, in my mind, it confirms the naysayers.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then
it's a great performance.
Right. And at that point, a guy like me has to throw up his hands and say, what can I say? I mean, I guess you're right.
Now, I was at the press conference today, but I don't know if anyone asked it. Did the Texans run a similar offense to the Broncos?
media bashing about now, Freddie.
Well, is that what somebody said?
It was
I'll give you a guess.
The line of questioning of a certain person for at least 25 minutes.
I'll give you a guess.
No, I don't need to.
There you go. I'm only giving you one.
It's like we couldn't figure out the answer to ourselves. It's Gary Kubiak. What do you think?
Well, that's my problem with those questions is that he asks them knowing the answers to them, and they don't give him any further insight. Sometimes you can write a story just because you know.
Then I ask an innocent question that I just want to know the answer to, and everybody gets all mad.
Well, you know, the better way to elicit a better response is what has Kubiak taken with him from Denver to Houston? So that forces the answerer to be a little bit more specific.
Or you could actually listen to what Bill says on Wednesday when he opens his press conference.
Well, there you go.
He talks about all the offensive stuff.
If he's already talked about
that Gary's taken with him from Denver.
Right.
Fred, you're also talking about a larger issue of said reporter actually asking a question, not giving an opinion and then saying right question mark at the end of it.
Right.
There's a whole issue there, but that's going to wrap up the first hour of PFW in Progress. If you want to send some emails in, we might get a chance to read a few more at the end of the show, depending on how Fred paces the picks. But join us back 1 o'clock, second hour of the show, where we will go around the league and I'll tell you who's going to win every single game this weekend.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4-FORD-10. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much? Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh. Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC, patent pending.
Looking for that perfect gift for the Patriots fan in your life? Then visit PatriotsProShop.com or the Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium. PatriotsProShop.com has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise anywhere on the planet, including the same gear your favorite player or coach wears on the sideline. Don't know what to get? Then try a gift card and let them choose from the thousands of Patriots items in stock every day. You know it's authentic when you shop at PatriotsProShop.com because your item is shipped directly from Gillette Stadium, the home of your New England Patriots. This holiday season, get a free stadium panoramic print with any order over $125 and a chance to win a free autographed item, maybe even a Teddy Bruschi jersey in our Autograph a Day giveaway only on PatriotsProShop.com. Fans can also visit the Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium, open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week. When you shop at PatriotsProShop.com, your gift is sure to be a winner. Promotions run November 24th and December 15th for the online store only. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. See official rules at www.patriotsproshop.com.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Oh. Fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge.
Paul Perillo.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
I think that says fragile.
Oh, yeah.
And Andy. And Andy?
Andy, don't play with your food. Eat it.
Andy Hart.
Andy, show me how the piggies eat. Eat it, good boy. Show mommy how the piggies eat.
Some guy named Tom.
He looks like a deranged Easter bunny. He looks like a pink nightmare.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Holy smokes, only one thing in the world could have dragged me away from the soft glow of electric sex gleaming in the window.
PFW in Progress.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. It's Thursday. That means we're going around the NFL, Fred, Andy, Paul, and Tom, and as we do every Thursday from 1 to 2, and at least we can get our minds off all this internal turmoil and fighting and pressure, and it's been a rough day here at PFW in Progress. So, Paul?
It's been a tough week for PFW, period.
Why is that?
Well, Andy's getting yelled at. Well, not really yelled at.
No, yelled at. Yelled about. Or not even yelled. Mumbled. Vulgarities mumbled about me.
Okay.
I'm Tom is now editor in chief. I know, I'm doing a story on punting. I mean, it's been a tough week for all of us.
All right. Last week, Fred, results were mediocre again.
PFW mirroring the team as a whole.
You and I were the best last week at 9-7, followed by Tom and Andy at 8-8.
That's inexcusable.
Now
I took the Rams.
What a joke. By the spread, Fred Kirsch actually did one game better, 10-6. And I was 9-7, and Andy and Tom were 7-9.
Wow. I stink.
So how does that make it for the season?
Well, funny you should ask that, Fred.
If I were a gambler, I'd be broke.
The best race to the finish in the history of the picks contest on PFW in Progress. Tom Casale, 126-82, has a one-game lead over Andy, Paul, and Fred.
Wow.
All tied for second.
140 wins in the paper.
One game. There's one game difference. No, you don't, by the way.
We might have to do our picks in writing so that we can't influence each other and people can't play games toward this stretch.
It's too close, Fred. You can't do that.
And if you want to, you should be able to.
Tom still has
the lead. I could do that if I had like an 8 or 9 game lead. Right. I could just mirror you guys, but it's too close.
Tom still has the lead by the spread, 76-70. And Fred has climbed with his 10-6. You've climbed back to 500 at 73-73.
Just the big, Fred.
I am 70-76, and Andy's tough week left him at 68-78. So you're now in the basement.
All right.
I'm not a gambler. Never will be.
Get that teaching test ready because you're going to be needing it.
It's not with the points. It's the other one. We're not even allowed to sanction gambling around here.
That's true. Speaking of, we're going to be getting our spread from the MGM Mirage today.
Apparently they're an official sponsor. We could have just gone with the spread.
So we didn't...
Hey, how are you?
We're not using the Herald.
Sid Diamond.
I think I know a little bit about...
Let me also ask you about...
All right, first game is tonight. San Francisco, this is a beauty. San Francisco at Seattle.
Actually, where it's raining.
It might be a good game. You know?
Was that a...
Well, Deion Sanders guaranteed me last week that the games would be better.
Oh, by the
week.
Way, I was watching the replay of the Dallas-New Orleans game yesterday. Yeah. Terrence Newman thinks he's Deion Sanders, okay? Yeah. But someone should tell him that he's not. He's good.
Hello, Newman.
He's okay, but he's not Deion Sanders.
All right.
It's obvious that the guy has watched every video that Deion Sanders has ever and wants to be him. His
See,
actions,
I think he would be going with Hester there.
The way he lines up, it's unbelievable.
Hester was good.
Just you know, I really don't know that much about Terrence Newman to know whether that's accurate or not, but that, geez, that would be a bad thing for a young cornerback to try to pattern himself
right.
after the best cover man in the history
according
of the game.
According to Deion, he said it would be because he's on Hester for doing, did you hear that?
Oh, the walk.
Doing the dance and yeah. everything, and being too flamboyant out
Are
there.
Are you freaking kidding me?
That's an absolute joke.
Now, I didn't hear the whole thing, Andy. I just heard he had mentioned, so I don't know what kind of context it was taken in. But if he did say that and meant it,
that's a joke. Wait a minute, Fred. You don't like it when players emulate and model themselves.
No, I don't mind that.
I was going to say you might not want to read the feature on PFW.
I'm just saying that you know he really has. And I'm not just talking about his cover style. I'm talking about how he lines up on the guy.
He does sort of look
mannerisms.
Like
the towel length, everything. The white shirt underneath.
He does
everything.
Sort of make himself just, look that way.
Roy
Williams wears a white shirt underneath, doesn't he?
For the record, he's probably going to Pro Bowl. I mean, he's by far their best player on the defensive side of the ball.
He should come up with his own style. All right. I mean, he's good, so he should come up with his own style.
Okay. Maybe you know? Brady should, too.
Ooh,
Why,
whoa,
who's Brady's
whoa,
style?
Whoa, hey, now.
No one. He's a robot.
Oh.
No, we prefer puppet on this show. I picture Bill with the little strings telling him what to do and puppeting him around.
I think it may be the other way around.
Huh?
I think Brady has as much influence over Bill Belichick as Bill Belichick has over Tom Brady.
Okay. Why do you think that?
I just do.
Because somebody told you.
Say it. Fred thinks it.
I think that they both have mutual respect for each other, and I don't think one tells the other what to do.
Well, that's not good because one's the coach and one's the player.
I think this is very much Tom Brady's team, a lot of it.
Interesting.
How do we get into this Newman? Oh, I mentioned Deion Sanders. I was going to say
Newman.
All right. Let's go. First game. What is it?
First game tonight, 8 o'clock, San Francisco at Seattle. According to the MGM Mirage, and I'm not going to mention that every time because they're not a sponsor.
We don't need it.
You're going to have to mention it the first seven.
Seattle
didn't want to.
Is a 10-point favorite at home.
All right. I'll take Seattle to win, and I'll take Seattle to cover. I think the Seahawks start rolling this week, and the Cardinals are a good team to do it against. It's raining very heavily in Seattle. The tarp is on the field, and garbage cans holding the tarp down so it doesn't blow away. Apparently, they didn't invest in the securing system for the tarp. They just fill up garbage cans with urine and hold the tarp down.
What?
But anyway, I just think they're the better team, and they win easily.
Okay.
Now, I was very disappointed in Seattle's loss last week. I thought, you know, I got suckered right into that line. But I think, you know, half an inch. If the 49ers go for that half an inch in St. Louis, where's their season right now? They didn't go for it. They haven't won a game since. And I think it's like Paul said with the line, it's stuff like that builds. It's not just that play. You build off of it. And when they decided to kick that field goal, they haven't been close since. I don't think they're close tonight. I like Seattle.
Okay, Paul.
Well, I like Seattle in the game, but I'm going to take San Francisco to cover. And the reason for that is I think
Seattle stinks.
Frank Gore runs all over the Seahawks, and they haven't proven to me that they can stop the run. And until they do, I mean, even Edgerrin James had 100 yards last week. So I'm being dead serious.
I know, but who thought like a year ago you'd ever be saying, geez, even the Edge had 100
But everybody knows why I'm saying
it. I know. And it's just funny to hear.
I think Frank Gore really opened my eyes. I thought he was one of those good players on a terrible team last year. He may be the best running back in the NFC.
I'm
shocked. One of the two or three.
Shocked
best.
By the numbers he's put up.
I think he runs all over them and keeps it close. Seattle wins, but San Francisco keeps it
close.
I'm
with Paul all the way. I think Seattle wins the game, but San Francisco keeps it close. I think
I'm doing the lead course, so this close.
You know, closer than the experts. Think.
Tom taught me earlier in the season: bad weather favors the underdog. It neutralizes things a little bit.
I took the Seahawks.
Big.
I know you're going against your own thinking.
Hang on. What in the holy hell is Kyle doing in there?
I don't know.
If he's not with food, tell him to go back to his office.
Taking lunch orders.
Oh, he is taking.
Really?
Oh, you're taking lunch orders?
And buying, apparently, because he just bought himself a Sling box, which is a very expensive piece of technology.
He happened to pick up a recorder when
Where
he was at
going?
The store because he owes me one.
Where are you going?
I wanted the money.
Okay. Right. Papagino's is a sponsor, so we can mention
well,
them
keep
on the
going.
All right, so I'm taking San Francisco to cover, Seattle to win. All right.
Saturday
Fred, are you getting anything to eat?
The Cowboys
Where are,
you
going?
Are three-point favorite over the Falcons. Andy.
give me
who
can you
teams?
Pay for me because
the Cowboys
spotted,
are three-point favorite over the Falcons.
I got money upstairs.
I'll take the Cowboys to win and cover. They're the better football team. I'll never pick the Falcons.
Has anyone ever gotten a tuna from Papagino's?
I just think the Cowboys front seven totally stifles. We're past you, Fred. We're totally stifles Michael Vick. And I think you have to throw to beat Dallas. I don't think...
You don't even know the spread.
It's three.
Three.
Oh, you're right.
Where is this game?
It's in Atlanta. I just don't think that the Falcons have the team to beat the Cowboys, although in this game everybody wins because I have LG Crumpler on my fantasy team, and we all know he's scoring a touchdown because of who's covering him. So Dallas, and I think Dallas big this week.
Dallas by three?
Yeah.
Kyle, give me three slices of cheese pizza, please.
So much for those 35 pounds.
Right.
What?
He had two bags
what?
Of Lay's chips
cheese.
While waiting, and now he's having three pieces of pizza. You just had 2 days worth of your fat.
Two bags.
He did. He sucked them down.
Thanks, Kyle.
He licked the extra grease out of one of them.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys as well. I think that they defensively are much better than they looked last week. And I agree with Tom's assessment here. If the running backs for the Falcons were healthy, I might be willing to take a chance on an upset. But with Dunn... at less than 100%, and Norwood at less than 100%. I don't know if either one of them are going to play.
Well, I'm going to move Justin Griffin over from fullback.
And Michael Vick.
But I think Michael Vick in that style, maybe we'll see what he does. He might prove us wrong. But I remember Belichick and Parcells in their times together, both in New England and in New York, really just eating up this scrambling style.
Yeah.
Having a lot of success keeping these guys in the pocket and making them throw. I think they'll do that, and I don't think Vic can beat you from the pocket.
Well, what if he's the running back and Matt Schaub's quarterback?
Well, that changes things.
That's
but
what
I
they're going to do when it works, it works.
I can't make my pick based on that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a very wise move on your part.
Right, so I'm going to take Dallas to win
deep
in
thought over there.
In cover.
He's going with the Falcons.
Deep okay. thought
once again,
I'm going to
take,
opposite of that.
Once again, I'm going to take Dallas to win and cover.
I will... I will go with Dallas both ways in this game. I really think that, you know, they should be an upset team this week. You know, not
yeah.
I mean, they should be pretty mad. They should come out.
Oh, I had no idea what he was talking about. For
yeah,
a minute
I get it now, but I didn't.
I don't mean an underdog
either.
Team. I mean that they should be upset at themselves. They should be really coming out.
Yeah, they played about as bad a game that they could possibly play last week. They should. I mean, they're not in the same boat as the Patriots because they've played better in the last month than the Patriots have, but. If they come out and play bad again this week, then he got all the, is Tony, if they caught up with Tony Romo, blah, blah, blah.
And, right. and that's, you know, you're looking at that game Sunday night, they failed on every level that you can fail. I mean, their offense
Everything.
Wasn't effective, their defense wasn't effective, and they didn't, even their special teams weren't effective, and they didn't, they seemed to quit. They seemed to throw
yeah,
in the
New
towel.
Orleans
it was like every aspect of football.
60 if they felt
every
like
aspect of football didn't go the way they would want them to. But I think you're right too about Romo. Is you know, they won the Giants game a couple weeks ago, but he didn't play great in that game. He certainly didn't look good the other night.
Plus, if he plays bad this week, T.O. doesn't get many catches, and here we go.
And again, he's you know continuing to try to steal that spotlight back from himself, mm-hmm. coming up with this, in my opinion, fictitious story about a snitch in the locker room.
Right. It's funny how no one ever respects him. Isn't it funny?
Yeah, but
wherever he goes, he's disrespected.
But
he should have died.
But he also said, you know, which is kind of a calling out his quarterback, they said, you know, what about the coverage that New Orleans goes, what coverage?
Yeah.
He goes, I don't know what game you were watching.
I like how
meaning he was open all the time.
I like you know how what? He talks about every receiver drops passes. Well, that's true, but you've dropped the most.
Right. And you know what? Fred Thomas, who gets beaten like a rented mule, was covering him like a blanket. He sucks. So he should just shut up.
All right. Okay, let's move over to still Sunday at 1, Cleveland at Baltimore.
But we're at Saturday games.
No, there's only one
Saturday.
There's
only one Saturday.
They don't have an afternoon one yet.
They don't do that anymore, I don't think.
Oh, at all?
No.
I don't think so.
No, it's one Saturday game.
At night?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I like that.
Oh.
Paul, you can't sit home all weekend. You got to have time to do things.
I don't need the Saturday night
game. You can say that. Just don't direct it at Tom.
Someday you'll have responsibilities.
I don't like the Saturday night game. I like the two day games on Saturdays.
Yeah, but then you can't do anything all day.
So what? What am I doing?
I don't know.
Splitting the atom?
Watch the game.
What am I, splitting the atom?
You got two kids. You got one kid on the way. You got a kid.
Don't you use Saturday to rest? You know, aren't you kind of tired? What's up with you?
I got chores to do.
Chores?
You know?
Well, boy, you better get your pants back.
I'll probably be out trying to get some last minute Christmas shopping done, but you know, under normal circumstances, no, I don't need
Okay.
Don't worry about it, Paul. Just take a day off.
Meanwhile, I got to go to some stupid Christmas party Saturday night, so I'm
Cleveland at
Baltimore.
Is that
the PFW?
Is that Cleveland at Baltimore?
Yeah, Cleveland at Baltimore. What's the spread, Fred?
Cleveland at Baltimore. Baltimore's favored by 11.5. 11.5.
That's a big
is Fry playing or no? That doesn't matter.
I don't know. I'm going to take Baltimore to win and cover, although I think that's a good-sized number that I don't feel completely confident in. But I think Baltimore, again, the better team. I agree with Tom. I'm not sure it really matters who plays quarterback.
Can you check that, Fred? See if Fry's playing?
Want to see if Fry's playing?
I think if the Browns play a good game, the best they can do is keep it close, so maybe I lose on the cover, but I just don't see the Ravens losing this one.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. I saw that team last Thursday really for the first time, and they have a ton of injuries. They had a running back. I didn't know who he was. They had a quarterback who I didn't think would ever play in the NFL.
Well, he did not look good either, although I thought they dropped a lot of
No, they did.
They did
just played it just
says he's questionable. So with a wrist, they don't know.
So he probably won't play. I think the Baltimore defense dominates in this game, and that's the only way they blow people out is if their defense dominates, and I think that's one of those situations.
Well, the number is only 33.
Right. So, yeah, that leads you to believe that if you're going to cover 11.5, you're not going to score a whole lot either, but I'll go with these guys. I'm a little concerned. The first game that they played, Cleveland was the better team, and they Baltimore won with a furious rally late in the game, but I think that was a long time ago, and Baltimore is a different team now, and I think they'll find a way to cover the number.
You know, I'm just going to go with Baltimore to win and Cleveland to cover.
Okay.
Because of, you know, being one of those division games, you'll play them tough.
Number.
Yeah, it could be 10-3. It could be,
absolutely.
You know, 14-3 or something like that, which still wouldn't give them the cover, so. I'll do it that way. I'll split it down the middle.
17-6.
Yeah.
Which still wouldn't give them.
All right. Sunday at 1.
23-12. Still wouldn't give them.
The Lions at Green Bay.
This might be the game of the year.
Let's see. The Green Bay is favored by 5 points home.
Hey, hi-ho. Be thinking about a knockout pick for me.
Not this game.
It's a tough one.
Although the Lions have never won in Green Bay.
I'll take the Packers.
Seriously? I just saw that stat on NFL Network.
That can't be
true. It can't be.
In
they
history?
Played like 100,000 times, haven't they?
Maybe I saw the stat wrong.
It's
got to
be since
14.
Well, either way, I'll run with it.
Under Rob Marinelli.
0-14, you said?
That's something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I mean, they've been playing in Green Bay for
800 years.
I don't know what it is, but it was
all right. Well, anyway,
recently.
I'll take the Packers at home. And I guess I'll take them to cover, too, but a bad game that I have no interest in.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to Paul's half a yard. I think that if the Lions maybe have gotten that first down, beaten the Patriots, they built something going into next year. We saw last week, apparently that's not the case. I'm going to go with God Almighty. I'm going to go with Green Bay to cover a 5-point spread against somebody.
Scary.
But now let me ask you now. The most important thing, though, is not the game. It's how Brett Favre feels after the game.
Right.
Because one week he shouldn't have come back, and then last week he can play forever again. So I just really want to know how he thinks he feels and his future is after the game, because apparently the team doesn't matter.
Now, the Green Bay's last two games are on the road, so this potentially is his last game ever at Lambeau Field, right?
The Green Bay's last two games are on the road.
They are?
No, only Arizona and New England play their final two games on the road.
Okay.
I have to say this. According to the Patriots media staff.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
that's a note they put out in the thing.
It's in the back.
Okay. Well,
they put that note out in their media guide.
I've heard that somewhere. I might be wrong.
Week 16.
Okay.
Green Bay is playing at home, December 21st, week 17.
Okay, so next week is their last home game.
Yeah, and then they finish up at Chicago, so yeah.
I can't believe, I think I vowed before the season that I would never take Green Bay.
And Liar?
That was Tom.
I don't know if I have.
Like twice.
Quite honestly, but I'm going to take them here to win. And I guess I'll take them to cover just because
Kevin Jones is dead.
Just because they're at home and two bad teams. I'll go with the home.
Yeah, I'm going to go Green Bay both ways in this game. All right. Sunday at 1, Jacksonville at Tennessee. Jacksonville is a 3.5-point favorite.
I'm taking Tennessee to win at home outright. Vince Sanity continues the role, makes plays, and I'm going to bank on my little fact. Jacksonville not as good on the road, and their big, tough, stout defensive front chases number 10 around the field all day, and he continues to show why he's going to be the best rookie and a tremendous quarterback and more than Fred Kirsch ever thought he'd be.
True. This is, to me, the toughest game of the week to call. Both teams came off emotional wins last week. I just feel like maybe Jacksonville's getting on some kind of roll because they didn't beat the Colts. They absolutely destroyed them. They probably could have scored 70 points if they felt like it. I'm going to go with Jacksonville and a toss-up. I think maybe Vince Young has a bad game this week after his big performance in Houston. Tough game, though. Tough game.
It is a tough game.
Jacksonville?
Both
to cover the number 2? 3.5, so you get that backdoor cover.
Wow, this is tough.
Yeah, I'll take Jacksonville both ways.
Okay.
This is killing me.
Well, I'm going to take Tennessee to win the game outright. I do agree that, Tom, I'm waiting for that Vince Young slip-up. You know, it seems that since he's gotten on the roll that he's been on for the last month and a half, he's been able to overcome the bad plays that he makes during games and put those aside and fall, almost like Brady. Brady was remarkable at that. When he was young, he would throw an interception on one drive and then come right back on the next drive, boom, 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 touchdown. He put it right behind him. I'm waiting for that Vince Young game where it just all blows up on him. Let's face it, it's going to happen. It happens to everybody. But I'm going to go with Tennessee to keep it going for one more week here, and just still not a real believer of Jacksonville.
Okay. I'm with Tom. I think Jacksonville's on a roll. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to cover. So,
sure.
Well, that's the way I think.
I mean, they're the better team. I would not.
Tennessee's run defense.
Third to last in the league. That was the other thing I was going to say. If Fred Taylor plays, they could run the ball on him. I just don't understand it because a few weeks ago I was like, I think Tennessee's really turning the corner here. Yet I don't pick them ever.
He doesn't understand himself. If you're following along there,
there was a game that they kicked away against Baltimore. They had a big lead in. And they lost in the last seconds. And that, I mean, you look at, they could be 7-6.
Yes.
All right, let's move over to Miami at Buffalo. And Buffalo is a 1-point favorite in this game.
Probably because, why, Fred? Pretty good defense.
What's the over-under?
34.5.
Well, there you go. Pretty good defense.
Yep.
Miami. I'll take Miami to win. I think they're playing some pretty good football right now. I don't think they make the mistakes. And I don't think Buffalo is all that good.
What does it say, though, if Buffalo wins this game about the Patriots?
Doesn't say anything.
No?
No, I wouldn't say that. It looks negatively on New England. I mean,
Patriots.
The big fear
Buffalo
of this
place.
Game is this is Miami going up to Buffalo in mid-December, late December.
Right.
You know, like, let's face it, weather is bound to be a factor in this game.
Paul, that, and I'm afraid last week was Miami's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, they were acting like it after the game. You know, Buffalo, that was a pretty impressive win in New York last week, too.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that was their Super Bowl.
Why?
I don't know. Just throwing it out there for a reason why I made my pick.
If it was Miami, so why can't it be Buffalo?
Right.
Can't play this little game?
I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins.
I don't like it, though. I don't like it. My pick
It's
stink.
A tough one.
My
it's
pick
a, It's a tough one. You just don't know who these teams are. There's no... Paul.
I'm going to take Buffalo. I think Miami's a better team. Matter of fact, I think Miami's a lot better team. But I think that weather in this time of year in Buffalo is a big factor. Probably going to make it a little bit more conservative to run the ball. I don't like Miami's chances if they can't throw it. And they have to rely, even if Ronnie Brown is able to play, I don't think that they're as suited to play that style as Buffalo is with McGahee. Key factor is the turnovers. If Lossman doesn't turn it over and they can rely on that stout defense that Fred talks about all the time, I think they find a way to win a low-scoring game. I think I picked Miami in the paper, Jeez. Though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you. I've gone back and forth just in the last 2 minutes on this game. I'm gonna go with Miami just because...
They beat the Patriots.
Just because they beat the Patriots, and you know. But I'm not going to be surprised if Buffalo wins that game. All right, Jets at Minnesota. Minnesota's a three-point favorite
That's
at home.
That's a joke.
Jets are the better team. Jets win on the road. The only fear I would have is I think they're a team that could get on a roll in either direction because I think they play with a lot of emotion and what, and maybe aren't quite good enough to win some of the games they win. And after last week's loss, I don't know how they're going to react to that, but I just don't think much of Minnesota. And the Jets still have a chance. So that's all Eric Mangini has to spin to them. And he's had them buying in all year long. So I'm going to say they have him buy in this week and he gets some rebounding.
Jets win big, and I'll tell you why. They played Green Bay after the Patriots played them, and they spread them out and threw the football. They're going to do the exact same thing to Minnesota that New England did because they have that set where they spread everybody out, they throw the football short. And when Pennington can throw it short, he's okay. It's when you need big plays where he gets into trouble. I think they destroy Minnesota.
Okay. I kind of agree with Tom. I still think the Jets aren't ready yet to be a playoff team, and I think they'll probably fall short. But this is an AFC team that's in playoff contention against an NFC on the fringes of playoff contention, and I'm going to go with the AFC team even on the road, and I think Tom's point about the passing game is perfect. You know, Minnesota's impossible to run the ball against. I heard a stat today. They're on pace to set a record in the modern era for the fewest rushing yards allowed or something ridiculous like that.
Everybody throws?
But it doesn't matter because the Jets don't run the ball anyway.
Right.
I think that, you know, Pennington's style is perfectly suited to spread them out the way Brady did. You know, maybe he won't throw for close to 400 yards the way Tom did, but I think they'll get enough to win.
This is one of those feeling games, and I just have a feeling Minnesota's going to win this game.
That's a shock.
But they will not cover.
In other words, you're rooting against the Jets.
No, I just... What happens if Minnesota wins?
Because you're feeling the pressure, Fred. You know if the Jets win out and the Patriots lose...
No pressure. No pressure. I just have a feeling that Minnesota's
going to win
this game.
Just wants to get
that
over with right now. Patriots win, Jets lose, and
right,
you know,
but you're picking
match.
Minnesota to win and the Jets to cover. So you're picking the game to be 17-16.
Something like that. Could be overtime.
All right.
I don't know why you scoff at him. You know what's going to happen.
What's the number? What's the spread?
3. You know what's going to happen now just because he picked it. He knows all. He knows all. They don't know, Fred. I was there to witness this firsthand in 2001. It has been written. When Fred talks like that, it's a feeling game. It has been written.
That's right. That's right.
So, Fred, what's been written about the Patriots?
Oh, he doesn't
know. I already told you about that.
He's not happy. Yeah. He's ready to throw his hands up.
Yeah. Over.
I'm not happy.
He already told you on the bus on the way home from Miami. It's time for the draft.
Second round.
Second round pick?
No. No, I just
I did something to my elbow.
I just don't have a really? Good feeling, but
it
that's
was
all right.
When Bruschi punched you and you elbowed him and off the chair. You came down with a big elbow.
All right. Let's go to Pittsburgh at Carolina. And this is off the board.
Oh, because of
the Mirage. Because of what?
Del Home.
So that means I have to make it. I'm going to make Pittsburgh a 3-point favorite.
And you're going to get me betting the hell out of Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's a 3-point favorite on the road, huh?
Yep.
So, oh, it's on the road.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I thought it was in Pittsburgh.
No, I'll take it in Carolina.
I think this is two underachieving teams for the year, but I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are a little closer to what maybe they should be at this point. I think they're a true tough team rather than a fraudulent tough team, and I think they stopped the run, and I think Ben Roethlisberger doesn't make the mistakes, and I think they win on the road.
Yeah, I think Andy's right. I think Carolina is supposed to be this tough physical team, but they're not. They don't like when teams run the ball right at them. There's still a good chance that Delhomme's not playing, and you know, I could see Pittsburgh putting together something here towards the end of the year where they were like, well, if we had some of the things early in the year, we could have gotten straightened out. So I'll go with the Steelers.
I like Pittsburgh, too, but not so much about Carolina being fraudulent the way my two buddies think. I just think they're as banged up as anybody, and it's showing.
What a John
Fox. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh as well.
He loves John Fox.
He's a very good coach.
Both ways.
Who do you, Pittsburgh both ways?
Yep. Sunday at 1. Tampa Bay at Chicago.
I like Chicago.
Chicago is a 13.
Can you start waiting your turn?
13.5-point favorite.
Or at least till your mouth is empty. I'll take the Bears, and I'll take them to cover. Is Bruce Gradkowski still playing?
Who cares?
He might not be after this week because he could get killed by those Bears. The Bears don't have to score on offense. They can't, so that's good. Devin Hester just returns a couple kicks, Urlacher a fumble. And they'll score a lot of points on these overmatched Bucks, who Tom Casale once picked to go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. And the fraud that is Rex Grossman will continue his late season surge because they don't play anybody. Then in the playoffs, they'll get beat. And I'll take the Bears both ways.
All right.
It's a big number, but I guess I'll agree with the boys here. Chicago.
Well, definitely Chicago to win. I got screwed with Tampa Bay a couple weeks in a row, so I'm going to disrespect them and say Chicago covers as well. All right, the final Sunday at 1 game.
I'll make sure they hear about that, you disrespecting them.
Yep. Final 1 o'clock game is Washington at New Orleans. New Orleans coming off a big win, and they're getting a big number in this one. 9.5-point favorites over Washington.
Washington, I'm going to take the Saints at home. I think the Saints might have a little letdown after a huge win last week. So I don't think they'll cover. I'll take the points. But I think the Saints win. Better team. And as we all know, above Fred Kirsch, it was written that the Saints are going to be good by the National Football League, Roger Goodell and company. So Saints win.
Hey, speaking of Goodell, what do you think about him calling the Bengals and offering help?
Well, he didn't call them out for help. That's just part of the story.
You think that's the spin?
He called them to say, listen, enough's enough. And I love Marvin Lewis's, I can't hold their hand. Listen, you bum. You drafted all those guys. Chris Henry got arrested like 2 times. Right. I mean, these guys were all in trouble.
They've lived up to their reputations. That's all they've done.
There's a distinct difference between having guys that get in trouble and then drafting guys that have been in trouble. And they draft a lot of guys that have been in trouble.
Yep.
They go out of their way to do it. They have supplemental draft.
What do you think Goodell was actually saying then when he called? You better get
it. Knock it off.
Yeah. But,
is it, 8 arrests since the start of the season?
You couldn't do that if you tried.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
This would be my upset special maybe if we weren't doing like picking outright and we weren't trying to win. So, but I'm going to go with the Saints. But watch out because there's the second worst rush defense in the NFL. And Liddell Betts, he's really come on.
This close.
I think the Saints will be down a little bit this week for this game, and I think they'll probably pull it out, but I'm going to take the number with the Redskins.
Okay. Yeah, I agree totally with both of these guys. New Orleans needs to get the game. They need to have their offense put them in control. Last week, you saw it right off the go, 77-yard run by Julius Jones. They've given up a lot of big plays in the running game, but generally their offense has them from in front, so their defense is not as exposed as it might be. I think Washington can cover the number. I'm going to take the Saints at home to win the game, but if it's close early, watch out because Washington will run the ball.
All right, I'm going to go with the Saints both ways in this game. I think they got a little momentum. I think Sean Payton's hitting his stride as a coach, and Saints cover this number. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll hit Denver at Arizona. Let's go, let's jump on in. Come on, baby, let's go.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Okay, back here at PFW in Progress.
What is this?
That's from Peanuts.
Charlie Brown.
I know that. Do you know who's playing the piano?
Linus.
No.
No, Schroeder.
Schroeder. That's right, Schroeder.
Who the hell is Schroeder?
He's the guy who plays the piano. Have you never seen Charlie Brown's Christmas?
I'm sure I have. The tree and all, the little twig and all that. Okay. I don't like it. I think Charlie Brown is highly overrated.
I know. Just because your head looks like his.
All right. Fred, that was a good one. The delivery was good. The material was good.
You got it out.
Pat yourself on the back for that one. That one was good.
Remember the one this weekend he tried to get out?
I'm stunned that he actually accepted it and he laughed.
If it's funny,
without
I'll
lashing
laugh.
Up, but you usually just lash out, whether it's funny or not.
No, if it's funny, if emailers send in funny ones, I'll laugh. If they send in stupid ones, I tell them they're drunks from Ireland.
All right, let's go to 4 o'clock games, 4:05, Denver at Arizona. And Denver is a 2.5-point favorite on the road.
Wow. I'd really like to pick the Cardinals here.
Then pick them. But you got a gun in your head?
You're just trying to take advantage of me. I'm taking the Broncos. They can't have fallen that. I don't care about a rookie quarterback. He hasn't played all that poorly. Just give me the Broncos, and despite my better feelings inside.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to take the Broncos because they play in the AFC, but let me tell you what my problem is. They've won 2 games in a row now, Arizona, right?
Yeah.
See, I told you it was coming. We just didn't know when. Denny Green's luck. He's going to go on like a four or five game winning streak to end the season. It might not save his job, but when he gets fired, he's going to say, well, you know, we put Leinart in there. Things were starting to go our way. Then they cut me loose, and that's what he'll be saying. But, I'm going to go with the Broncos, I guess.
Paul?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Broncos, too, just because I think it's, you know, this is an AFC team. Even though I think they're done, it's still a pretty good AFC team against a bad NFC team.
Well, it's certainly
I don't care where
defense.
The game is played.
Yeah.
And I don't
he
think that
points
from watching Cutler, I don't think that he's played as well as the numbers would indicate. But at the same time, I think this is where he gets his first win. I think he struggled, actually, and saw one of his touchdown passes should have been intercepted last week and threw the made the absolute worst play that you'll ever see in his first game, that in the night game when he was getting sacked and just threw it to the other team.
Just
Darryl Tapp.
Lofted it up there, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Broncos both ways in this game.
Because I love the Broncos.
I'm off the Broncos.
I'm not a Broncos fan.
We won't have a Christmas party, so we won't know if you'd wear the skin-tight John Elway jersey again.
Will you wear that again?
No way he
shirt?
Could fit into that these days.
You still have
it was skin-tight 2 years ago before the 30 LBs.
It's a good thing he wasn't number 17, just number 7, because the 1 would be under one pit and the 7 would be under the other pit.
What?
Okay. Eagles at the Giants. This is a 4-15 game. And the Giants are 5.5-point favorites at home.
Favors.
Favors.
I'm going to take the Eagles. I'm going to take them to upset it on the road.
Really?
I just don't like the Giants. I don't like what's going on in New York. And, yeah, Jeff Garcia makes some plays. I think the Eagles are in a good – you have the better coach, have a little dogfight mentality here, trying to make a run at the postseason. And – I just don't like the mentality, the things that are going on in the locker room. I don't like Plaxico Burress being open, being not open, trying, not trying, being soft, all that. They're crap, the Giants.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like the Giants either, but I just can't get rid of them. They just keep popping back up, and they're bothering me, so I'm going to take them to win. I'll take the Eagles to cover.
Well, I'm going to take the Giants both ways. I think Tiki Barber runs for 200 yards against that defense. And for that reason, mostly, I'm going to take the Giants to win. I think they have a lot more talent than the Eagles.
I'm going to go with Paul. Giants both ways. Is Strahan back this week?
Who cares?
I doubt it, but I don't know for sure.
He's doing radio and TV.
Yeah, he's doing his radio.
Commercials.
Driving a truck through his teeth.
I'll still take the Giants. All right, 4-15. The Rams are going to Oakland. Remember, the Patriots are not the Oakland Raiders. Rams are going to Oakland. Oakland's favored by 2.5 points.
I said it the other day on the TV show.
Oh, that's right.
They're not the Raiders.
You know, what's funny, that must have been subliminal, because that's the last line of my commentary, is it could be worse, you could be a Raiders fan.
There you go.
Paul Perillo stealing again.
It might have been a subliminal, that's why. But that's, you must have seen my face when he said that.
I'm
not
sure that holds up when they fire you.
It was subliminal. For the Worcester Telegram and
what, do you go to Harvard and write books?
The Raiders are kind of the current laughing
I can't write something that he said?
Why would you ever want to?
But anyway, that's if I'm still employed by the time that comes out anyway.
Andy,
the linebackers.
You're getting closer and closer back to that teaching career. Let me tell you something.
What's
the spread in this game?
And while
Raiders
I'm excited about
right.
J. Dighton and Hobbit.
The Raiders are 2.5 points?
Yeah, 2.5.
Wow.
A lot of pressure here. I'm going to take the Raiders at home. I don't like the Rams, and I think Doug Gabriel puts the Raiders over the top, and they get it done.
They got them for insurance.
Well, I like the Raiders in this game. It's hard to say you like them big because they're the Raiders, but that Rams, that's one saggy team, and I think the difference here is one team plays well on defense, and the other team has no defense.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll go with the Raiders at home.
I'm going to take St. Louis, mostly because the fact that the Rams have no defense is not really a problem against Oakland, because Oakland has no offense. So I find Bulger, Holt, Bruce, you know, I don't know if Steven Jackson, he came back in last week.
Yeah.
You know,
what's the spread?
I think that's enough to get
2.5.
So in Paul's prediction, 3-0 Raiders gets it done for me.
Oh, yeah, well, it could. And that's what it would have to be for you. But I just think the Rams, are pathetic, but I find I can't pick the Raiders. I just can't.
Yeah, neither can
the Rams.
I
aren't the Raiders.
I got to go with the Rams as well, both ways. I mean, well, not both ways. They're outright. All right.
I love when he just keeps talking.
Kansas City at San Diego. Lamar Hunt passed away, was it this morning, I guess?
Yeah, does that have an impact on this game?
I don't know.
You rally and win one for the owner?
What
happened when Wellington Mara lost? Didn't they win that game like 26 to nothing.
Oh, no,
like
yeah, they destroyed Washington.
The day after Wellington Marathon.
Yeah, right now,
aren't they the better team?
San Diego is 8.5-point favorites.
What was it, 8.5?
8.5-point favorites.
I'll take San Diego to win and cover. By far the better team. Merriman's back. The defense is rolling again. I think they are just the most dominant team potentially in football, and unless they screw it up, I think they roll into a Super Bowl berth. So I think they kill the Chiefs, who are significantly worse off on the road.
Yeah, I'm with Andy. I don't think San Diego gives a darn about Lamar Hunt. I think they'll kill Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm going to take San Diego as well. Just a lot better team. And they lost that game at Kansas City earlier in the season. So,
yeah.
Thanks,
know,
Kyle.
Probably on their minds as well.
I'm going to go San Diego to win, Kansas City to cover. They make it close. All right. Monday night. It's a good game. Bengals at the Colts. We got a good game for Monday night.
Wait, what was the Sunday night game?
That was Kansas City at San Diego.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bengals at the Colts. Colts are 3.5-point favorites at home.
I'm going to take the Bengals to win in the dome. I think they can run the ball. I think they can throw the ball. And I think they'll play enough defense to keep the Colts in check. Colts offense has yet to all year really been the high-flying offense where the Edgerrin James and Stokely has 1,000 yarders, all these crappy extra things they've had over the years. They're good, not great, and I think the Bengals, when they play their game, can be great. And Rudy Johnson, human bowling ball, runs all over the Colts.
Well, I've kind of gone back and forth on this. I'm going to take the Colts, and here's the reason why. I don't think Cincinnati is disciplined enough to stay with the run. I think the Colts will score on them, and then it'll get into that shootout, and I still like the Colts against anybody if it's that type of game with Peyton Manning. If they are consistent, if Rudy Johnson gets 30 to 35 carries, I think they can win. I just don't think they'll stick with it. And, you know, I think if it's a shootout, I'll always give the edge to Peyton Manning.
I'm going to take the Colts as well. It's 3.5, Fred,
you
said? I'm going to take the Colts because I think that lost in this little swoon that they've been on the last couple of weeks and the two losses is not the defense giving up large chunks of ground, large chunks on the ground, because that's happened all year. What's been the problem is Peyton Manning has not been anywhere near his normal level of success. 4 touchdowns, 6 interceptions the last 2 weeks. That's why they're losing, because if they can get you, like Tom said, in a shootout, they're comfortable playing that style. Most likely you're not. So I think at home, the offense gets it back on track here and forces Cincinnati to match him score for score, and eventually the Colts come up with a turnover or a play on defense, and Peyton Manning puts one of those 4-touchdown, no-pick, 132-passer-rating games together.
I'm going with the Bengals in this game.
Good call, Fred.
And we know why. So
why?
Because you're rooting for the Colts to lose.
No, not really. I mean, I could care less about the Colts. Of all the playoff teams...
Called the Patriots season over, so it doesn't really matter how the other stuff plays out.
Of all the playoff teams, I'm least afraid of the Colts, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
You know?
No,
I'm more afraid of San Diego, of Baltimore.
They've had a tough time.
I would agree with that, but to say all of all of the teams, I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
Well, I mean, if the Jets get in.
I mean, you'd rather play
Indy
than Jacksonville?
How many incompletions does Manning have against the Patriots the last 2 years? 5?
You know what? At this point right now, I might want to play Indy over Jacksonville.
Yeah, crazy.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
There's no answer to that, huh?
Right.
All right.
We're only going to see one of them. Maybe.
Don't talk with your mouth before.
I can't help it,
Paul. Okay. So
Teddy
I'm going to go with the
get
Bengals.
Mad at you.
Let's go back to the Patriots game. Houston's coming to Foxborough, 1 o'clock Sunday. Big number. Patriots are favored by 11.5 points. Andy.
I'll take the Patriots to win and cover. They should. I might learn. I mean, if they don't cover this week, then they are really done. As in, why we even play in the last few games? Take a loss. Just go home. Put everybody, including our fans, out of their misery. I think they're probably going to bounce back. Like I said, I expected them last week to have that game against an inferior opponent. Maybe the Dolphins weren't inferior enough. Whatever it was, the road, the Miami Jane. This week, I think they do it. Texans don't play a defense. They have a low-ranked offense, a low-ranked defense. I know David Carr is hard to sack, but I think they'll get some pressure on him. They stuffed the run. I think they roll pretty easily in this one. And whether it's false confidence or not, they'll build something this week.
I'll take the Patriots to win, but I don't think they could beat the school to death by 11.5 points. So I'll take Houston. Wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots lost if Will Fork, Watson, and Maroney don't play because I don't think they have a lot of talent.
See, I would be most surprised if the Patriots win and don't cover. That would be my I'd be less surprised that they lost.
Well, I could definitely see them in a close game and Brady making plays down the stretch where Carr's kind of like Kitna.
See, I think if the Texans stay in it, they say we can win and they might just do it because the Patriots aren't that good.
Well, the Lions did that and they
didn't
win.
No, I know, but I this week I would be surprised if they win and not cover.
You at this point, from what I've been watching, I can't lay 11.5 with the Patriots against anybody right now until I see something.
Who's a better team, Detroit or Houston?
Houston.
And my only fear is that I have Watson out in my book. And then if you take Wolfork and Maroney, and if they don't play, now you're laying 11.5 with a bunch of backups.
I also worry about the late score, too, you know, with big spreads like that. The Patriots don't generally let that happen to them because they finish games out when they're, you know, when they're playing right.
When they're not fumbling.
No, what I'm saying is...
Fred Kirsch.
Wow, I'll tell you.
Down as they come.
I'm with Tom, though. Right now, the way the Patriots are playing, I have a hard time laying double figures. I'm going to take the Patriots to win, and I think they're going to win handily, but I think I'm worried about the backdoor cover, so I'll take the points.
This is my show of support, my last show of support. Patriots win, and they cover.
When they're not fumbling.
But you know. But again, I'm not so worried about that. If they don't cover, this is it. And if they win by a touchdown, as long as they play well, maybe you know Houston has a good game. I don't know. But as long as the Patriots play well and win,
see,
he's never going
to give up. No, he'll never.
He's like you. He spends the whole show ripping them, but then picks them. And this
it's the eyeball test. Tom,
they beat the Lions by a touchdown.
I know, but they didn't play well.
Okay.
All right. They didn't play well. If they play well...
What constitutes Houston playing well and losing by a close margin? Because I don't know how that can possibly...
By the way, if the Patriots play well and only win by a field goal or a touchdown, that might be more telling.
Right.
They're not that much better than the Texans.
Well, every team...
If the Patriots play well, they should squash this team.
If they play a crisp game, like no turnovers, play well in all three areas, and they win 17-10, I'll say, well,
As an old coach who used to... work here once said, you know, those other guys get paid to play too. So, you know, maybe they come out and have a good game and give the
Patriots
a run.
Kyle gets paid too, doesn't he?
As long as the Patriots are playing well, I'm okay with whatever the score is. But I think Tom's right. If they do play well, they should kill the team. So that's why I'm going to say that they are going to play well and that they'll cover the 11.5 points. We still got about 5 minutes left, guys.
You're worried.
I am worried. I mean, shouldn't I be?
Yep.
You know?
It's just rare to see from you.
Let's see. Did TG and NJ, did you get to his last email? He says, Paul, you say the Texans are going to get a beating. Please tell me who on the Patriots is going to do the beating. I'd like to know. Brewski, Dylan, Ken Walter? Seems the only way the team can save face is to finish the remainder of the regular season with all wins.
Yeah.
Fans are not happy.
Nope. Who's going to do the beating? Ken Walter?
I could have sworn I saw him in Toys R Us yesterday.
My answer would be Tom Brady, by the way.
I wish I saw him.
Tom Brady's going to do the beating.
Ken, you got a minute?
Where's that damn recorder?
But guys, any, you know, is there hope? I think there is.
If they win their last three games or play well and stuff and start...
But
we're getting down to the end here, Fred, because teams that are good usually start building that momentum before this, okay? So we're getting to that stretch now. What are we going to do 2 weeks from now if they lose to Jacksonville? Say, all right, now if they go out and they win, have a good win at Tennessee, that may be in the playoffs. I mean, we're getting to the end of that now. So they need to start right now.
Absolutely.
This is it.
I agree with that. I agree with that. You know, there is no time for, well, they've got time to get it together. They don't. They've got to get it together this week and for the rest of the season.
Now, none of us thought the Steelers were going to win the Super Bowl.
None
of us did.
But we thought they were the fourth team in the AFC, let alone, you know.
Sixth.
Sixth team.
But they wouldn't have had Palmer not gotten hurt. I
mean, right.
It just shows you how much things can change.
But they were playing somewhat well towards the end, better at the end than they were at the beginning.
Right. They won in the regular season late.
The Patriots don't have the kind of talent that the old 49ers had where maybe you could stumble a little bit down the stretch and turn it on.
The old Patriots had?
I just don't see it. They're going to have to build some kind of confidence because I think right now the biggest problem is they don't have confidence in themselves.
And that's why, you know, we talked earlier, I think this is a big circle the wagon week. I think this is a come to Jesus player meetings, you know, the whole thing.
Well, when's it going to start? Because you know what phrase really bothered me when Paul said, Bruschi said to him, I said to myself, why am I yelling at Paul? They're so frustrated and mad, they're just yelling at people.
Well, that's okay, as long as they take it out on, also take it out on the Texans.
They're going to say, as long as they take it out on Paul.
That's okay, too.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Did he really get put in a headlock?
Wow.
Well, that was a fun headlock. It was his big brother.
No, I know. Over. But nobody likes that. Don't touch me.
I was very. That's how I felt about it. I was uncomfortable, and I wasn't in the headlock.
Yeah, don't lay your hands on me. You know.
That's what you should have elbowed him, right? Like a wrestling elbow, and then give him the stone cold stunner and just lay him out.
But I'm glad though that you guys made up.
I love how tough they are when they're not involved.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he made up to you, Paul, because I would have to have stepped in.
Oh no, you wouldn't have.
Why
no,
not?
You wouldn't have.
I did before.
Yeah, well, that was wrong. It shouldn't happen.
That was with a different person.
We're big boys. We can take care of ourselves.
No?
We can take care of ourselves.
I don't need that.
Okay. Well, Jared helped you out, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jared might not be speaking to me no more.
Wasn't he about to, you know, help you, get you out of there before?
He tried.
Yeah?
He tried to get me out in the middle of it.
Really?
I wasn't done.
Neither was Brewski.
Oh, man. Why do I think that there's going to be like a Mr. meeting? Kraft wants to see you when you get up.
That's why I'm glad you're here today.
I'd be surprised if you did, Fred, but I wasn't happy about it. But at the same time, I don't need – there's no need for you to
didn't
go.
You didn't do any. It was just –
No, it was just a stupid thing. It's over. And there,
well,
was, there was no
and
need.
And he made it over by apologizing.
Right. But, I mean, it was over
he
for
did
me
apologize,
too.
Right?
Yeah, more or less.
Did the words, I'm sorry?
I'm not sure.
So he didn't.
I'm not sure if he did.
It doesn't
matter. It's kind of like that sign.
We're all family. We're all family. We're all family.
To be honest with you.
It's all good.
Who?
Us.
Us being
who's
us four?
Yeah,
us four is
everyone
a
in the Patriots
it's
family.
Us, I mean, let's face it.
I'm not
us against them.
It's us against them. Nobody in this organization considers us family.
Well, we don't feel that
way.
Well,
I'll tell you.
I do.
We don't feel like we're against them.
No, we're not.
No, we're not against them, but they're against us.
But they're against us because they think we're against. They think we're the enemy. And you know, unfortunately, they feel like that. Now, I would say I don't think that the Kraft family feels like that. I think,
no,
you know, we have their support. And that's, to be honest with you, all that matters to me.
All right.
Paycheck helps,
we'll
too.
Continue.
That has that name on it.
Well, of course. But, I mean, they're ultimately the ones that are making the decisions
no
on
question.
That. And as long as we have their respect, that's all I care
we'll
about.
We'll continue trying to do the right thing. We'll be back tomorrow at noon. And who's doing it tomorrow? Who's doing the show? All right. We'll see
you're
you
talking
then.
Christmas.
All right. We'll